of tea and time for me. Half an hour with my heated rollers. Time to dream, time to scheme. Half an hour with my heated rollers. And the world seems to fly by in a permanent way. While all I want is a couple of curls and a good night out with the girls. So shut the door, who could ask for more? Half an hour with my heated rollers. Time to dream, time to scheme. Half an hour with my heated rollers. Half an hour with my heated rollers.
Hello, 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 hello. Hello and welcome to another episode of Heated Rollers. I'm Linda Bellingham.
And I'm Gwyneth Strong.
Hi, I'm Joanna Monroe.
Yes, well, it's very nice to get in the mood with a bright and breezy opening.
It's the only way.
Yeah, yeah.
As you can see, we're professionals and we're never off duty.
The audience always comes first, eh, girls?
Sorry, can I just ask you something?
Far away.
But make it bright and breezy.
What is the art of good comedy?
Timing.
No, what is comedy? What is it that declares timing and irony our gods?
Have you been at that minibar again?
Since the dawn of time, humanity has striven to understand both pain and pleasure. The two are not far removed.
She has been at the minibar again.
Yet we, by the grace of God, have been granted a gift, though this gift be anchored by heavy chains.
Hang on. I've spotted him. Look, it's the director of the Royal Shakespeare Company's in the audience. Joanna is attempting to line up her next job by reducing my show...
Our show. Yes,
our show. To an audition.
It is nothing but the hand of coincidence, as it was time indeed, and that death was added to our work, that is all.
Are you drawing yourself to the attention of the director of the RSC on his night off? Is it pathetic or not pathetic? That is the question.
What know you both of talent?
What plainness lurks neath those bankrupt chests?
Nothing wrong with my chest.
What attributes died of embarrassment therein, their ineptitude, a beacon of failure, clear to the most careful of the others?
I had an eye test last week.
Ha! Whip it! Say your tongue, for the young folk might be frightened by the puppet.
Right. Hold that sentiment, for your worthiness stands in the shadow of doubt. I see it plain that your performance is dire, and your style that of a wooden door.
With breath of badger and face of fish, I despair of your entertainment and would readily crawl over broken mead mugs to another theatre.
Your modesty befits your abilities. Fools that you are! For I know the envy. I know the women.
Alas, poor Yorick.
God, look, he's gone.
Go on, go back to your long-haired, lisping actresses. Yeah.
With flat chests.
Now what have you done? I thought I might have had a chance there. I quite fancied a touch of the bard.
I think we should read out some of the telegrams from people who couldn't be here.
Right.
I've got one here. Ivana Trump apologises she can't make it, but very kindly sends a big hello.
Yeah, she's on pages 1 through 12 of this month's edition.
Faith Brown wanted to come, but she's afraid she'd make a bad impression.
Yeah. Linda Messenger wanted to come too, but said she had a falling out.
Who with?
No one, she just had a falling out. It takes her all night to put them back in again with warm spoons.
Steady. And apparently the members of the Humberside Women's Bungee Jumping Association have just arrived. Oh, wait, they've gone again. No, they're back. Now they've gone.
Stop.
It made me laugh.
And I've been working like a dog.
Hello.
Hi, Julie. Susan from the Brentwood office here. Just ringing to see if you had any vacancies going down in the big smoke.
No, sorry, afraid not, Susan. We're fully staffed down here with hard-headed, go-getting self-starters. By the way, hope you don't mind me munching away. I'm just having lunch.
At your desk?
Absolutely, far too busy to go out. I always eat at my desk.
Oh, me too, yeah. In fact, I'm just about to have breakfast at my desk. Completely forgot to eat this morning. So busy.
What are you having?
I got Elsie in the canteen here to fax me some kippers.
Oh. Nice one. Oh, hang on, Susan. I've just got to go to the toilet. Oh, yeah, there. That's better.
Did you just go to the toilet at your desk, Julie?
Oh, I always do, Susan. Too busy to get away. You spend 5 minutes in the loo, the other woman gets the deal. How's life then, Susan?
It's good, it's good. I'm having a baby. Have I told you?
Really? How exciting.
Yeah, it is. Excuse me. Have this washed and taken away, would you, Pam?
That way.
Here. Do you just give birth at your desk?
Of course, that's what modern women do, Julie. It's the 90s way.
You having any maternity leave?
Yeah, I'm taking 10 minutes off at lunchtime to video conference with my nanny.
Oh, well, that's a coincidence. I've got a video conference call to make at lunchtime too to my doctor.
Oh, nothing serious, I hope.
Afraid it is. I've got an incurable disease. I've only got minutes to live.
Julie, have you just died at your desk? God, typical. No dedication to the job. Some people. Still.
Hello?
Hi, it's Susan from the Brentwood office. I believe a vacancy might have just come up. And so ends another meeting of the Voluntary Euthanasia Society, otherwise known as Suicides Are Us. Before we go, I'd just like to remind old and new members alike of our 3 rules of membership. 1, don't get too attached to any of the other members. 2, if you can't make it, send a note. And finally, do put your car sticker somewhere discreet. It tends to make other drivers nervous. Thank you, and I'll see you next week. Or not.
Welcome. I'm Doris Nukes, star of Psychics and Psychic of the Stars. If you want my ongoing services, you can pay by cheque, credit card or direct debit. However, I advise that you pay in cash, for which I'll give you a small discount. I've taken the advice of a top accountant I met on the other side. He used to do the books for Al Capone. All right, dearie.
Yes, I'm ready.
And why exactly do you wish to contact your dearly departed husband, Mrs. Grindstone?
Because I never had a chance to say goodbye. In fact, I never had a chance to say much to him at all, ever. He was always too busy, you see. He was a complete workaholic. That's what killed him. He never stopped. Business always came first.
Oh, I understand, dearie. I will now enter a trance-like state and transcend into spiritual dimension. Ooh. Ah. Mr. Grindstone? Mr. Elliot Grindstone? Can you hear me? We need to contact you. I'm sorry, Mr. Grindstone is either out of heaven or on another seance. Please leave your message after the harp and he'll try to get back to you just as soon as possible.
And now on Radio 2, our classic serial. This week, Madame Overy.
I yearn for the romance and society life of Paris. I have read Le Sylph du Salon 1,000 times, while Charles eats food noisily and smokes foul cigars and snores and amputates the feet of perfectly healthy peasants. I wear the finest gowns adorned with pompons and chiffon dewdrops, yet, oh, how he irritates me. Oh, how I loathe him as I sit here at my boudoir window tossing petals into the wanton wind. I am the bride in the iron mask. Oh, why did I ever marry Overy? Oh, but look, it's my handsome savior, Rodolphe. Oh, look at his manly bronze physique. The way his tight breeches grip the flanks of his white horse. Ooh, I shall escape. Rodolphe?
What is it, Emmer? I am busy on my way to the agricultural fair.
Oh, Rodolphe, my prince, rescue moi.
I cannot stop. Your husband shall expect me soon.
But if you do not take me away from here, I will die of a broken heart for certain.
Huh? Everyone has to go sometime.
Rodolphe, mon amour, I'm going to jump.
Jump? See if I care.
No, I'm going to jump into your arms.
Oh, garçon, are you in for a surprise? Anyway, you have a large Gallic nose and you smell like merde.
I'm coming.
I'm going. Au revoir.
Oh! Oh! Mon Dieu! I am dashed against the rocks. Every bone in my broken body, broken. But then, as my dying breath escaped me, I suddenly knew I love
Eagle 3, this is Houston Control. How you doing? Over.
Hi there, Houston. This is Eagle 3. We're all fine. Over.
How's our very special little lady, the first grandmother in space, doing? Over.
Truth is, I don't know. Over.
What do you mean you don't know? Over.
Well, every time I'm not looking, she wanders off. Can't turn your back on her for a second. Over.
Well, find her, or your career will be over. Over.
And every Thursday she parks a shuttle 100 miles above a post office in Whitley Bay High Street. I mean, what's that about?
Yoo-hoo! Did I hear somebody say they'd like a nice cup of tea?
How many times do I have to tell you not to pour cups of tea at zero gravity, Grandma?
Ooh, dearie, you got out the wrong side of his chirogenic suspension unit.
Grandma, how are you?
Oh.
Over.
Oh, Roger, and in, out. No, this is Granny here, dearie. Yoo-hoo. Under and up, down, I mean over.
We see you've just been up in the loading bay using the two space arms. What were you doing? Examining space debris? Helping to build the space station?
Not quite, dearie. I used them to knit a nose warmer for the ship. There's brass monkeys up here, so I thought some woolies would keep Starfleet Commander Jack Frost from the door, dearie.
Yeah, that's another thing, Houston. We're...
Language, dearie.
Sorry, ma'am. We're freezing, and Grandma won't put on the two-bar heater. Over.
Grandma, the cost of that itsy-bitsy heater is negligible. You can use it until the interstellar cows come home. Over.
As my mother used to say, look after the pennies and the billions of dollars poured into NASA's space program will look after themselves.
How's Grandma faring medically, Captain? Over.
Well, truth to tell, Houston, her mobility is down. She's showing acute signs of memory loss.
Now, I came into space to get something. Now, what was it, dearest?
And she falls asleep without a moment's notice.
Oh, look, a huge asteroid hurtling to...
And yet, for all this, just watch when we run a random sequence of numbers past her. Grandma? Grandma!
Oh, yes, what's that? What's it, Mr. Gary?
19, 43, 88... 22?
House!
See, nobody can touch her at bingo, Houston.
Fascinating. So, Grandma, any complaints, over?
Well, the children haven't written.
Wait, Houston! Houston, we're receiving signals from an alien life form!
Oh, just a minute, Mary. I'll deal with that.
So do be careful. This could be the most significant moment in the history of mankind. A turning point for humanity. An event that will change our understanding of the universe forever.
Oh, that's better, dearie. You see, you lose track of when our tell's meant to be on up here, don't you?
Houston Control, when will it be over? Over. Come in. Come in.
Hello, Dr. Bone. No, I'm afraid she's not well, so you'll have to make do with the locum. That's me. Now, take a chair. What seems to be the problem?
Well, Doctor, I'm having trouble...
Yes?
Well, you see, I'm having trouble...
Well, finishing your sentences.
No, it's just...
Well, come on, spit it out.
Well, Doctor, I don't mean to be rude, But you look just like that lady off Are You Being Served?
What, you mean Mrs. Slocum?
That's the one.
That's because I am, dear.
You mean...
That's right. Yes, I'm Slocum the Locum.
Slocum the Locum?
Well, that's what I said. Now then, what seems to be the problem? I've got other customers to see, you know.
Don't you mean patients?
I know what I mean. Anyway, what's up with you?
Well, I'm having trouble passing water.
Is that all? You want to loosen your corset, love.
I don't wear a corset.
Well, there you are. A woman who doesn't wear a corset is going to be putting pressure on her bodice. And then she's in all kinds of bother.
But I don't wear a bodice either.
You don't wear a bodice? Gracious me, next you'll be saying you don't wear a...
girdle, I don't. I don't wear a corset, a bodice, a gusset, bloomers, underskirt or a petticoat.
Why, not my days. I've never heard of such slovenliness. You must be popping out all over the place. Now, I want you to take some of these.
Corsets?
That's right. They're to be worn 3 times a day.
Will they make me better?
No, but at least you'll know what your grandmother had to go through. Now, be a good girl and tell the receptionist on the way out that Mrs. Slocum says, I'm free.
Gentlemen, the Lorraine Bowen Experience.
Ecstasy is having your ears syringed, watching the wax splurge out into the plastic bowl. Ecstasy is feeling that new sensation. Ecstasy is liberation. Oh, why can't we all live in ecstasy? Can't you see? It's a land where your ears are free. Ecstasy is feeling that new sensation. I'm unplugged. Liberation. 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 Now I can laugh at your jokes. Discover what blokes are shouting to me across the street. And when you whisper sweet, nothing's in my ear. Suddenly, they mean everything to me. Plastic bowl.
Or was it stainless steel?
Ecstasy is feeling that new sensation.
Sensation.
Unplugged. Liberation.
Blonde, Jane Blonde, 007-36DD. I have a license to criticize, and I prefer my vinaigrette shaken, not stirred. Okay, Q, what gadgets have you got for me this time?
We're equipping you with a lighter that's really a camera, a watch that's really a wireless, and a lipstick that's really good at staying put.
So, M, what's the job?
It concerns a mad, power-crazed individual.
Don't tell me. It's that guy who won't prescribe Prozac.
You mean?
Dr. No.
No.
No?
No, no, not no.
No, no, no,
no,
not no.
No, no. Oh. No, this time it's... Cold Finger.
Cold Finger? Why do they call him Cold Finger?
He's a
an evil gynecologist. Good finger. He's the man. A man with an icy touch. I can't say I like him that much.
So what's that crazed megalomaniac up to now?
Nothing, she was just having a bit of a sing.
I know, you can't put her down.
Back to the plot.
He is determined to get hold of the file of Compound X, the most awful biological weapon there is.
What does it do?
It lowers your intelligence, makes your hair drop out, and your eyes bulge.
You mean we'd end up having a world full of... Grant Mitchells?
Yes. And while they were all having complicated lives, Coldfinger would take over all the world's top private gynecological practices, and given how they like to charge, he'd be the richest, most powerful man in no time.
We must destroy this Compound X.
It cannot be destroyed.
Then hide it.
Ah, we've tried everywhere. Miles underground or orbiting the Earth. Once, we suspended it in a volcano. Every time, his henchmen found out. We need your help, 007-36DD.
Sure. Well, I could run round driving a sports car or hanging off a helicopter or having casual sex with people who'll only try to kill me once the act is over.
Or?
We could hide the Compound X in a drawer.
What?
Well, Coldfinger's a man, right?
Right.
And so are his henchmen.
Yes.
Let's face it, men can never find anything in drawers. First of all, they would never locate the right drawer, and if they did, they'd still need a woman to rummage through the stuff to find what they wanted.
And I gather... you will be that woman.
Precisely.
Men can get very touchy when they've lost something. Aren't you afraid?
Trust me, I can handle it.
You mean?
Yes, I've got a husband.
The History of Feminism, Part 3, The Joy of Sex. In the Victorian era, sex between a man and his wife was a very inhibited affair.
Excuse me, Gwendolyn.
Yes, Bertie?
I think I'd like...
Yes?
If you wouldn't mind...
Yes?
If it's not too much trouble...
Yes?
Would you please allow me to engage in sexual intercourse, if you would permit it?
Oh, yes.
So, if you don't mind...
Yes?
If it's not too much trouble...
Yes?
Would you mind, please, leaving the room?
Shocking as it may seem today, men in those days were only concerned with their own pleasure, with no interest in woman's needs. Ladies were encouraged to lie back and think of England, or if the gentleman was very bad at sex, to think of Belgium as well. Some gentlemen took their pleasures amongst the ladies of the night.
Excuse me, madam, I'm looking for someone willing to have sex with me for money. Do you know where I could find such a woman?
Blimey, sir. Here's a saucy piece who's looking for a bit of business. Good lumberduck. You look like a gent who wouldn't mind getting his old dickety dido out and giving a lady a bit of an old house your father, eh? How about taking me up the hill to Bedfordshire and showing a girl a rogering good time with your gentleman Jim, eh, governor?
Look, if you don't know, just say so.
These ladies lived in disgusting conditions and often had appalling accents. It wasn't until the 60s that something was invented that would finally liberate all women sexually, the orgasm.
I was just mucking around with a few test tubes in the lab, and all of a sudden there it was. It's hard to imagine that before 62 there was no such thing as the female orgasm.
Early orgasms were extremely expensive, and most women kept them tucked safely away where no man would find them. They were so valuable that soon the black market was flooded with them. These backstreet orgasms were usually unreliable.
This orgasm you sold me was a fake.
And believe me, it took a real expert to tell a real orgasm from a fake one. Eventually, with time, patience, and education, every woman was able to have an orgasm of her very own. Another landmark in the history of feminism.
Hello, and welcome to Witch Dog with me, Anne Robinson.
And me, Alice Beer.
Anne. Thanks, Alice. This week on Witch Dog, we're investigating alien abductions. What are they? Where can you find them? And if you're offered one, should you buy it? Alice.
Anne. We're here in the English countryside in the middle of a field which could be a crop circle. Anne.
Alice. Or it could just be where the farmer parks his combine harvester. We were hoping to be joined by a Mavis Lang of 37 Armitage Avenue, Totnes. Alice.
Anne, who stood here for 39 years in the hope of experiencing a close encounter, but can't be with us tonight. Anne.
Alice, because her dog Alfie's got a cold. We wish him better. Which makes this the first night she's ever missed. Alice.
Anne.
Alice, and I do believe that that is our alien spaceship now.
Well, this is incredible. There are all sorts of people milling about up here, no doubt contravening no end of European safety directives. And
Alice, now, I've got with me the chairman of Alien Abductions Are Us.
Where's Mavis?
She's had to take Alfie to the vet.
Oh, sorry to hear that, Anne.
Alien, now... Alien.
Are either of you familiar with the concept of a vacuum?
You mean the absence of matter, absolute nothingness?
No, I mean a vacuum. You plug it in and push it round the floor. Mavis normally does this for us.
You mean that Mavis has been beamed up here before without her knowing it?
Every night for 39 years. In fact, she's due to receive her gold watch soon.
Excuse me. Are you saying that Mavis does your housework?
Of course. You don't think a race of our advanced intelligence would stoop to getting its tentacles dirty with that kind of work, do you, Alice?
Alien. Do you perform experiments on the humans you abduct?
Well, we might give one a bottle of Ajax and another Mr. Muscle and see who finishes first.
Alien, but how do you get poor, defenseless, little earthlings to do your bidding? Stun guns? Ray guns? Brain frying guns?
We find a cup of tea and some Argos vouchers tend to do the trick. But if you're not interested, that's not a problem.
So as you see, no sign of UFOs anywhere. Anne.
Alice. Join us next week when we'll be joined by Mrs. F. Baker of 23 Bishops Way, Cleethorpes, whose husband disappears whenever there's housework to be done. Alice.
Anne. Alien.
Alice.
Good night.
What can I say, girls? Another week, another show.
Yeah. Went rather well, I thought.
Mm. Yeah, I'm sorry about the Shakespeare at the beginning.
Oh, that's right.
Don't worry, it doesn't
matter. No, we didn't notice.
Yeah, wait,
really.
No, wait, look. See if you can guess where this comes from, right?
Out, damn spot!
The Scottish play.
No, it's what I say when I look in the mirror every morning.
All right, my turn. To be or not to be? That is the question.
Oh, it's easy. It's Hamlet.
No, it's the entrance exam for the Euthanasia Society.
Okay, here's one.
Now is the winter of our discontent.
James Callaghan, 1979.
No.
No, it's my Auntie Ethel every Christmas since 1946.
No. Richard III, wasn't it obvious?
You didn't play many games as a child then, did you?
What's a game?
Oh, bless.
Heated roller star Joanna Monroe, Gwen is strong, and Linda Bellingham. It was written by Neve Fountain, Caroline Gold, and Mark Dady, Simon Blackwell, Claire Summerskill, Bryony Lavery, and Leslie Ann Elverston. The music was composed.